Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Welcome to the latest chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. This chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is brought to you by Revell, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Revell offers practical books that bring Christian faith to everyday life. Whether through fiction, Christian living, self-help, marriage, family, or youth books, each Revell publication reflects relevance, integrity, and excellence. On today's episode of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf, we have author Erin Bartles here to talk to us about her latest work, The Girl Who Could Breathe Underwater. Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And thank you so much for being our first interview of 2022. We're really excited to talk to you.
Wonderful.
So tell me a little bit about The Girl Who Could Breathe Underwater.
It's the story of Kendra Brennan, who is an author. She's written a book. It was well received, except she got one letter that was from a very disappointed reader, an anonymous reader who accused her of getting the story wrong and using people and of taking the wrong person's side. And she knows that this person must know something about her real life because she based the book on her real life. So she is going back up to the cabin on an inland lake in northern Michigan, where she spent all of her summers growing up and where the events of what became her book took place, so that she can sort out for herself what actually really happened. And it's a story of kind of a failed friendship. Mm-hmm. There's some abuse, there's family relationships and a relationship with a mentor and all of these different things, these tangled webs of her life. And she's got to sort it all out. And it turns out to be quite a bit more complicated than she thought, as our memories do when we kind of think of something that happened as children. Later on as adults, you realize, oh, there was more to that than I thought. So it's a story about kind of finding the truth, believing in yourself and believing that you did get things right if you did, and apologizing where you need to, and all sorts of things like that, reconciliation and forgiveness. And
yeah. So where did you get the inspo for the book?
Well, I have in my own past some failed friendships. but also I had my own experience as a young person of sexual abuse with a friend's older brother. And so it's something that I've, you know, been thinking about and mulling over and working through for more than 30 years. And in fact, when I first started trying to write a novel, it was a story that was sort of related to this. It had the same setting. It had some of the same characters and certainly some of the same themes. Ultimately that one didn't go anywhere, and I'm really glad it didn't, because I think it took a little while longer to be able to write the story how I really wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So it draws a lot on just my own experiences as a young person, and just those times when, you know, as a young person, you're confused and you don't really know what's going on. You don't know why something's happening. And then getting to a point in your life where you realize, oh, I can process this. I can move beyond this. And maybe there was something going on in these other people's lives too, that I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a lot of complicated relationships in the book. Are you able to shed any light on those for us without giving it away?
Oh, it's kind of difficult to talk about this book without giving plot points away. yeah, I can talk about some of them. So I think one of the complex relationships is between Kendra and her mentor across the lake, whose name is Robert. He's a writer, and he's somebody who was a part of her growing up and a big part of why she became a writer. But she's always been at the same time a little bit jealous of him because of his success, a little bit jealous of her friend, who's his daughter, because of her relationship with him, because she never had a father growing up. So there's a lot of that kind of mentor, father figure type issue going on. But also, I think one of the important relationships in this book that I didn't realize when I first started writing it is the friendship between Kendra and Cammie. And at the beginning of the book, Cammy hasn't been seen for a while. We don't quite know where she is. And the way the book is set up is actually Kendra addressing her, which is a way that I think I got more of Cammy on the page because she's not in a lot of the scenes. And so I think I just had my own friendships that were complex and things that I kind of looked back on and felt a little bit bad about. I think we all grow up with some regrets, some people more than others, but with some relationships, you have a chance to fix that. And with others, you don't.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you come away thinking, gosh, I wish I'd done things differently, or I wish I'd seen this thing that I didn't notice when we were kids, so I could have been nicer or more helpful or a better friend.
Yeah. I definitely think we all have those moments of regret in that area. Now, a lot of your books have a center theme of redemption. Is that something that's planned? Is that, you know, like your stamp and note as an author, or is it just something that comes out from within you?
I don't think it's actually planned, because when I first decide to write a book, it's usually about particular characters that I want mm-hmm. to bring together and that have to work through something. Mm-hmm. And I think that redemption ends up being a part of it just because that's a thread that I think people really want in life. And it's something that you can have in some aspects of life, and in some others, you know, there's not really an end to your story until you're gone. And yeah. So we have all of these loose threads of our lives that we haven't quite tied up. And I think that people connect with redemption stories because that's what everyone wants. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've gone into books specifically thinking this is going to be about redemption. It's really about the characters and the story that unfolds as they make choices and go try to fix whatever it is in their lives that is broken.
Yeah. So what's next on the horizon for you? Any plans that you can share with us?
Yes. Yes, I can. I had an absolute ball this past couple of years. Actually, one of the nice things about the past couple of years was writing this next book that I'm going to be putting out in 2023. And I can't tell you the title because it doesn't have a title yet. Okay. But it is a story of two young musicians. It's set in 1990. And that's one of the reasons it was so much fun to write, because I kind of remember that time, that switch over from 89 to 90, as being a very hopeful time mm-hmm. in our country. And I think in the world, I mean, the Berlin Wall was coming down, the Soviet Union was sort of inching toward democracy, and everybody was sort of optimistic about the future. And so it was really fun to be in that space for a while kind of everything was falling apart around us. And the story it's about taking a look at what's kind of ending in your life mm-hmm. and then focusing on what's beginning. And I don't know if that was intentional, but certainly that's something that came through in the writing, that there are, you know, you see these parts of your life that you wish would keep going, mm-hmm. or you really just want to get out of this season of your life. But ultimately, you know, there's no choice but to move forward and in time. So that's kind of what they do. And I just had a really great time focusing on music and my own experience growing up with an audiophile father, which, for people who don't know what that means, it means he spends all of his time and money on high-end stereos. Mm-hmm. So music was like a thing you did in our house. He can't, you know, sing, he can't keep a beat, but listening to music was very important in our house. And so I just really loved just reveling in the love of music and how it's a vehicle for self-expression and how it's something that really helps us heal and helps us connect with each other.
Well, I can't wait to read that. I really can't. That sounds like a lot of fun, especially coming out of the music industry myself. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. And in the writing of it, I started learning songwriting. And so I've written songs to go with it.
Oh,
and yeah. It's super fun. I've had just such a great time doing that.
Okay. So now you need an album that sits on the end of the book.
Yeah, now I need musicians, because I'm not really a musician. I can play guitar, but I'm not a guitarist.
Yeah, well, come to Nashville. We'll hook you up. We'll get you, the right people. Well, Erin, thank you so much for coming by today to talk about The Girl Who Could Breathe Underwater. It's available now wherever you buy books. Shop local if you can. And if you like this chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss another chapter. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.